Friends, I'm introducing David Carrico's radio program. David interviews a former Southern Baptist pastor named Pierce Dodson. I met Pastor Dodson personally and listened to his testimony in 1993. The Southern Baptist Convention was famous since former President Clinton and President Carter were members. President Carter left the church, claiming it was not his kind of Christianity. Pastor Dodson resigned because Freemasons had infiltrated the Southern Baptist Convention and became so powerful that he found it necessary to resign because he was not one of them. His testimony will be in two segments of 15 minutes. And this is the first segment.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Followers of Jesus Christ radio program. Today we're going to have as our special guest Pierce Dodson. He's a Southern Baptist minister. He's an ordained minister in that denomination. He's also a graduate of Southern Baptist Seminary and a Southern Baptist pastor. And today Pierce Dodson is going to stand up and give testimony with his dealings of Freemasonry within his church. And he's going to give testimony of how Freemasonry can affect a Christian church. And we're going to give you a phone number to where you can call and get information on how to get a copy of today's program. The telephone number is area code 812-477-6338. So today on the Followers of Jesus Christ radio program, we're going to welcome Pierce Dodson. Pierce.
Yes, sir, David.
Are you with us? We just want to welcome you to the Followers of Jesus Christ radio program. And we've basically introduced you today as a Southern Baptist pastor that has something to tell us about your dealings with Freemasonry in the church. So, Pierce, we're just going to give you the time and let you give your testimony. Go right ahead.
David, as I begin, I want to preface my remarks by making it perfectly clear that as I deal with the subject of Freemasonry, I am dealing with this institution and this organization. I'm not dealing with personalities. I am not attacking people's character or their faith if they profess faith in Jesus Christ. So it's not a personal sort of thing, and I think that's an important disclaimer to make. Also, I find sometimes in dealing with this subject that Freemasons react not to the point of contention that I and others have with their organization, but they begin to point out all the good they do with their charities, their hospitals, and so forth. I would just say that we're not even addressing that. We're not dealing with that. So people should not, those that defend Masonry should not try to hide behind these charities. I am dealing with a theological and philosophical matter, which, frankly, most Masons know little or nothing about. So I'm on a different wavelength than a lot of the defenders of Freemasonry as I approach it from this basis. A famous Christian leader of a day gone by, familiar to many Baptist preachers, R.A. Torrey, has a right remarkable comment that I think should be said right up at front. He said you can be a Mason and a Christian, but you cannot be an intelligent Mason and an intelligent Christian at the same time. And I hope that'll become obvious as I proceed with my testimony that there is a built-in incompatibility between the Christian faith and the theology that permeates Freemasonry. In more modern days, Walter Martin, the author of Kingdom of the Cults, a very respected evangelical scholar, succinctly described Freemasonry about as well as it can be briefly described. He termed it, quote, metaphysical Satanism, unquote. Admittedly, that's a very serious charge. If it can be substantiated, it certainly puts this whole thing in a very serious light. I think also I would say to our listeners that they need to understand that some of the greatest preachers ever to live, Charles Finney, the great revivalist, D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, I mentioned R.A. Torrey and gave his quote, Dr. Harry Ironsides, John Wesley, these men all spoke out and condemned secret societies. In our day, John Ankerberg, Dr. D. James Kennedy, even John MacArthur, these men have all come out and spoken against Freemasonry. So I wanted to give those brief introductory remarks to try to give the background for my testimony. I left the church after having served nearly 14 years and came back to Tennessee, which is my home state. I took a Baptist church in a community, small community, became the pastor of what was the largest church in that county of any denomination, began there really with high hopes. The church was doing well during my tenure there, but about 3 months, David, into my ministry, I began to realize I had an inordinate number of Masons on my deacon board. And I began to talk with one of the prominent members of the church about this. This person began to do some reading on this subject. Eventually, this person... Well, let me just backtrack, David. I'm getting ahead of myself, really.
Okay.
One day I was talking with this person and another member of this church about this subject. I brought it up. I guess I was a little gullible and naive at that point. But I was discussing it with these two people, and one of them revealed that her husband was a Mason. Well, I was a little bit taken back by that. They did not seem offended or angry at any remarks I had made about it. Obviously, I meant none of them personal toward her husband or any other Freemason. But at any rate, she actually revealed some resentment that she had about it because of how it had impacted her and their family life. And so she didn't seem at all upset with me. That's when it all kind of, the cat got out of the bag, so to speak, at the church. Then later, as one of these two people began doing some reading on the subject, as they borrowed some of my literature, this person revealed something to me that knocked my socks off. I am a Southern Baptist. I've always been a Southern Baptist, was converted to Christ, and became a Christian in the confines of the fellowship of a Southern Baptist church. Have been licensed and ordained to the ministry, graduate of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. I've been around Southern Baptists all my life, David, and this lady told me something that you almost never hear in our circles. She said that some years ago, she didn't specify when, she had had a vision. Well, this lady would not be characterized as charismatic, certainly not someone I would characterize as highly emotional. But she began to describe the vision, and as she did so, it got my attention. She said that in this vision, she saw Satan holding that church in his grip. Then she proceeded to describe the vision. She said, you know that tank commercial? Time, I'm not sure if I was aware of the brand, but it turns out it was Sherwin-Williams. She said, where the globe has a can of paint turned upside down on it, paint is spreading out over the globe. I think what she was saying figuratively, as the paint seems to be gripping the globe, she meant that in this vision she saw that Satan was gripping the church. Well, that certainly got my attention fast. At that point, I did not know nearly as much about Masonry as I do now, but I knew enough to have a very strong reason to believe that I knew that where Satan's grip on that church, or at least a large extent of his grip upon that church, may lie. Freemasonry, obviously, is big in this church that I was in. As this situation, David, what happened, one of these two people that knew where I stood on this, supposedly, as the story later came back to me, was sitting around in their home. And out of the blue, her husband, a Mason, remarked, "Honey, I believe Brother Dotson would take a strong stand against Masonry." Well, he saw a funny look on her face and proceeded to pull out of her what I had said in a private conversation between where she was present with this other lady. Well, there we go. If he had called me that day, David, probably this situation would have never, well, I don't say it would never have come to what it did, but it wouldn't have come so quickly. But he didn't call me. He called his lodge brother. From there, things went downhill. I had been pastor, David, only 4 months when I tendered my resignation, 14th of July, 1991. I was not fired. Technically, I was not asked to resign. It was my decision. I chose to do so. There was a very, I felt under a tremendous amount of strain. I think that possibly it would certainly have erupted into a major conflict. The Masons certainly felt threatened. They even at one point tried to call a secret deacons meetings behind my back. That was later changed, as one of the deacons insisted that they bring me into the meeting. One of the deacons who was not a Mason insisted that I be brought into it. At that time, I was confronted with some literature I had distributed to various people about this subject. Being a new pastor, I realized I was really in a dilemma. I had no power base in a new church. Didn't have anybody I knew that I could fall back on. I knew I was dealing with an issue that Southern Baptists are largely ignorant about. And so I felt like, well, I'm really out on a limb and I need to do something to defend myself and to prepare a defense in case this really blows up in a major confrontation. So I had distributed some literature after I had been confronted by one of the deacons about what I had said in that private conversation in regard to Masonry. So, obviously, he was quite angry with my remarks, very unhappy with my remarks. Masons do not brook any questioning of their membership in the lodge. They become very defensive, generally speaking, can get very angry at the drop of the drop of any little remark that might cast aspersions upon the organization. As it turns out, since my resignation, David, there must be between 30 and possibly as high as many as 50 members of that church that belong to the Lodge or Eastern Star. This organization permeates the community. It's a part of the government of that community. It's a very pervasive influence. I do believe the lady had a bona fide, God-given vision, a revelation of the situation in that church. However, David, as anyone knows that has ever dealt much with Freemasonry, when you begin to deal with this subject, you really enter into the realm of spiritual warfare. And Satan jealously guards Freemasonry because it has served his purposes so well. It has given him an entree into thousands of churches, and he jealously guards it. And so you really enter into this area of demonic conflict. I think that's probably a good measure of the pressure and strain I felt under is because of the demonic nature of this whole thing. But at any rate, I resigned that church in July. In fact, tomorrow, David, as a matter of fact, just occurred to me, tomorrow is the anniversary of my resignation. It'll be 1 year tomorrow. Because of my stand on this, because of the pervasiveness of Freemasonry in the Southern Baptist Convention, especially in the South, it is making it difficult for me to even get a church now. The Lodge tends to network very well. Once you have identified yourself against this organization, they can be very vicious in trying to keep you from getting into a church, to keep you from having another pastorate. I think that would be, I think that is something that this organization would like to do to me. I think that's why it's so important that our denomination address this problem. Many don't even perceive it as a problem. That's how well Satan has got away with this ruse. But so right now I am serving a church as an interim pastor. I am not a pastor presently. What my future holds at this point, I really don't even know.
Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on cephas-radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, cephas-radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin, and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross, "It is finished." God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark chapter 13, verse 22, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect." The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at CephasThriftShop.com. Cephas-Thrift-Shop.com. We are selling our inventory at a 90% discount. Books, DVDs, CDs, and etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals and new, and the books are described. Join our monthly newsletter free at go-cephas.com. My email address is r421@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends about us. God bless you, and hope to share with you next week. Shalom, Rita Williams.